Hello and welcome to Strange Stuff. My name is Andy.
And I'm Mark.
Just trying to turn the volume. How do you turn the bloody volume down?
Volume on what?
On the headphones.
If you right click the little speaker icon in your bottom right hand side.
Got it. Volume mixer. Oh, speakers. Now say something.
1, 2, 3, 4. How loud is it?
No, that's fine. No, it's just I've been shouting at Dad.
Oh, right. Okay. But that doesn't mean you have to turn yours up.
No, you're right. Trying to avoid bloody hellfire. People would call that a fishbowl.
I need a glass of wine tonight.
Why, you've had a tough day at work, have you?
Oh, I had a tough week. I'll tell you what, when I went back on Monday after I got home, I literally had to lie on the sofa. I could not move.
Oh.
I felt like I'd been running a marathon or something.
Nah, it takes a bit of time to get back into the swing of things. I'm the same. You know, I'm helping Izzy with her building work.
Yeah.
And, it really takes it out of me. And at the moment, they're on holiday, so I'm sort of working 7 or 8 hours, which is too much for me on site. I can't cope.
Especially as it's sort of raining half the time as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm inside, of course, so it's not too bad. But yeah.
Still depressing. I find it really hard to leave the apartment when it's raining outside.
Well, talk about depressing. Bearing in mind, it's August. Mm. The trees have already started turning, for God's sake.
Yeah, we've had summer. That's the end of it. The next thing for us is the snow.
Clearly. And it's bound to be a bad one this year. We've had 4 easy winters. This one's going to be tough.
Oh, I don't know. Last winter wasn't easy.
Yes, it was. We didn't get snow until December, January.
Well, I don't think I ever drove to work without snow until April.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But yeah, it is a bit, I wouldn't say depressing, but you know, autumn in the middle of August. Nah, really?
Well, yeah, I know what you mean.
Did you cut me off?
No, but your screen froze and you weren't replying to me. So I figured.
Your screen froze and you weren't replying to me.
Okay, well, we had a technical glitch.
Technical glitch. Let's hope it doesn't happen again under recording.
Well, it doesn't matter because the editing skills are impressive.
Indeed. I actually found last week's episode entertaining and informative.
Funny enough, Kate the Crim said the same thing.
Yes.
She said it was her favourite episode. I don't know, I couldn't see it. I thought it was maybe a bit too well researched.
Yes, exactly. No, but it had some substance, even a bit of revelation.
Yeah, I don't know how much substance we're going to squeeze in today. We've got a couple of inbox business things to discuss.
Inbox? Really?
Yes, we've actually...
Someone has sent us a message.
We've actually had a request to cover a thing.
Is this from someone we actually know?
Well, obviously, yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, obviously, I can't tell you what it is they've asked us to talk about because that would break our format.
Spontaneous combustion.
No, that wasn't it.
That was my idea.
Yeah. But the other one, and this was more exciting. I was like sitting in the throne room, minding my own business, flicking through my phone, and I felt a little buzz. So I opened the phone up, a direct message on the Instagram account.
Excellent.
And it was from a company who said
who want to be our sponsors.
Who said they'd looked at our profile and we were a good fit for them. Basically, yeah, get in touch with some chick called whatever.
And it's a scam.
I looked at the name of the company and I thought, this couldn't be better. This is a partnership that I would kill for. But I wrote our profile. So anyone who says they looked at our profile and was impressed raises a massive red flag for me.
Yes, exactly.
So I did my due diligence, investigated the company, and about 14 seconds later, I decided, of course, it was a scam.
Yeah.
But the name of the company and the products they sell were so fantastic. It's quite an ingenious scam.
All right.
It would have been so easy as a naive fledgling podcaster to go into business. And I mean, it's a genuine, air quotes, business opportunity insofar as they will ask you to write a review on their products, basically.
Right.
And in return, they will promote your podcast on their site.
Right.
However, their product is quite expensive.
And you have to buy one of their products to be able to review it.
You have to buy one at a discounted price.
Yes.
But even the discounted price is still like $70 American.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm not going to tell you what the product is or what the company is called because I want to do a mock advert when we have our sponsor break. So when you hear...
And now, a word from our sponsors.
I will actually be going into a...
A spoof advert.
And I just want to warn anybody who might be listening, both of you, do not buy anything from this company, no matter what I say or how tempted you might be, because it is a scam.
Oh, well, that's a shame. Well, at least you got 2 seconds or 14 seconds of excitement, was it, before you realised it was a scam?
Well, I was suspicious as soon as I sort of read the opening gambit, because if somebody actually wants to sponsor you, the reasoning behind that is because you've got a large audience and also...
Yes.
And also, they would have at least had the goddamn common courtesy to listen to an episode or two, not just read my fucking profile.
Oh, dear. We live and learn. Well, it's lucky I didn't pick up the Instagram, not that I would.
Oh, God, we'd be $70 down.
Exactly.
Talking of dollars down.
So how are you going to improve on last week's episode, which has been roundly accepted as the best so far?
Well, by you and the criminal.
Well, come on then. What is today's episode about?
Well, I'm a bit disappointed, actually, because you're going to have a little gloat. It's about spontaneous human combustion.
Oh, dear. I'll tell you what, I remember, I think I was probably about, I don't know, 10 or something. I don't know what sort of magazine it was, but there was literally a picture of a sofa with a pile of ash on it, and it was evidence of someone who'd spontaneously combusted. And I think I had nightmares about that for about 15 years. I only recovered when I got to 25. So having suggested it, I'm sort of now regretting it.
It's a very interesting subject. If you go back to like its roots, it was medically speaking, it was first mooted by a guy called Paul Rolly, who was a fellow of London's Royal Society, which is the world's oldest scientific academy.
Yes.
And he coined the term in a 1744 article entitled
Philosophical
Transactions. Right. And he described it as a process in which a human body allegedly catches fire as a result of heat generated by internal chemical activity, but without any evidence of an external source of ignition.
Right.
Now, I don't know if you know the three necessary things to create a fire.
Oxygen.
Yes.
Heat.
Yes.
And?
The last one?
No.
Fuel.
Fuel, of course. You've got to have something to burn.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I mean, the idea gained popularity and spontaneous combustion became a fate particularly associated with alcoholics, which we'll go into later.
Yes, yes.
In the Victorian era. Charles Dickens.
You with a fishbowl of red wine in front of you.
It's a small, it's a single fishbowl. It's not an aquarium.
I'm surprised you can lift it.
Charles Dickens even wrote it into his novel Bleak House.
What?
I don't know if you remember, in which he had a minor...
I did it for my O-level English.
He had a minor character, Crook, who was a cheating merchant with a loving of the swilling of the gin. And he spontaneously catches fire and burns to death in that book.
Does he?
He does. He took a bit of grief for it because it was
Charles
a phenomenon.
Charles Dickens or Crook?
Phenomenon. Charles Dickens. Because it was a phenomenon science was roundly condemning.
Do you want to practice that one again, phenomenon?
No, I'm fine. I can add it in later. And it will sound pro. Even... as enthusiastic witnesses among the public swore to its truth. And it wasn't long before other authors, notably Mark Twain and Herman Melville, jumped on the bandwagon and began to write spontaneous combustion into their stories as well. And the fans of these writers defended them by pointing to a long list of reported cases. And in fact, there are over 200 reported cases of spontaneous human combustion worldwide, earliest of which took place in Milan in the late 1400s.
Okay.
When a knight named Polonus Vorstius allegedly burst into flames in front of his own parents.
All right.
Now, as with many cases of spontaneous combustion, alcohol was at play.
Yeah, it's whether alcohol was at play with the witnesses to this spontaneous combustion or the supposed victims of spontaneous combustion.
As they're Italians, I'm guessing there was a lot of alcohol in play with every single person in the room.
Don't know what you're implying.
Vorstius was said to have belched fire after consuming a few glasses of particularly strong wine.
So, hang on a second, I've already got a theory for this one.
Oh, dear.
Yes, Zambuca.
Zambuca.
Don't you remember? That's the stuff people used to put coffee beans on top and actually set fire to.
Yeah, but it was the bean that was the fuel, wasn't it?
No, I think Zambuca burns actually quite well without the bean. It's a alcohol, for God's sake.
I know. But what was the purpose of the bean?
I think it's just to add a bit of... Oh, I know what it is. I know exactly what it is. The bean... What colour is a coffee bean?
Coffee coloured.
Exactly. And so you can see the flame against the dark bean background.
Oh, so you don't burn your nose hairs.
Otherwise, if there was nothing in contrast to the flame, you would put it to your mouth and suddenly if I had a moustache, it would go up.
You haven't had a moustache since your Freddie Mercury days, have you?
Actually, you're right. I think it was 20 years ago.
I thought I was joking. You actually had a moustache.
Yes. But I definitely had a moustache.
I'm going to need a picture for the website.
You're definitely not getting one of those. Or a full beard. I also had a full beard for many years.
Really?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good for spontaneous combustion because your head would go up first.
Well, the thing about spontaneous combustion, it's usually the body trunk gets turned to ash and legs and other extremities, including the head, are usually left fairly much untouched.
Oh dear, this sounds pretty gruesome. Who suggested this idea?
You did.
Was a mistake.
And also Morehouse.
All right. So this knight in Milan, he goes up in flames, witnessed by a lot of drunken Zambuca drinking
parents.
And who was it in the local rag?
We're talking about the year 1400 and something.
Maybe there wasn't a local rag in those days.
Well, I don't know how. I mean, it's in the history books. I don't know which history books. You've got to understand there's a very little research information available.
Right.
But it said that he liked wine, women and song. And he consumed 2 ladles of very strong wine one night, and it disagreed with him. People say that he immediately vomited flame and then burst into flames entirely. No one else seemed to have any problem with the wine. Indeed, they carried on drinking it.
Aye, as
and
you
people
would.
Were baffled as to how this happened, and they're still baffled today. Well, they would be if they were still alive.
All right, so that was the first reported case.
There are several others that we can touch on. There's at least one member of nobility as well. The Countess Cornelia di Bandi, the Countess who lived in the 1700s, she was found halfway between her bed and her window one morning with everything except her lower legs and 3 fingers burned. She had apparently calmly risen from her bed to open the window in the middle of the night, but combusted before she could reach the window. In the room, 2 candles had been burned, or at least the tallow had been burned. The wicks were left completely unburned. Soot covered the room, including some bread on a plate that she'd left on a table. Now, as an indication of just how strange the 1700s were.
Yes.
The bread was taken from the plate and offered to a dog. The dog refused to eat it, making it possibly the most sensible person in the room.
Indeed. So, sorry, this spontaneous combustion malarkey, does it happen almost instantaneously, or are they flailing around for half an hour?
Oh, there's no flailing. We'll come to the scientific part of it.
There's a scientific part?
There actually is. And in fact, you'll be amazed to know that it was officially listed as a cause of death by a coroner on at least one occasion.
Spontaneous
human combustion.
Really?
Yep.
Where was that? That was in the 1700s, was it? Or was that recently?
I don't think we had coroners in the 1700s. We had a tally man and a grave digger.
All right. Well, so are we jumping too far ahead? When did this coroner actually...
Well, no. You're being way too keen. I've got 30 minutes to fill with this shit. You go We can't just jump in with this nonsense.
Well, we're not going to list all 200 cases, are we?
No, I couldn't find all 200. Order.
Can we filter them down to the most interesting ones? You've done the first one. You've had this Sheila on her way to open the window with a sensible dog.
We can.
What other ones are of note?
We can. We could do that. But first...
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Have you ever...
Pull yourself together, man.
Have you ever woken up in the morning knowing you've got a party to go to tonight? Looked in the mirror and thought, I need some manscaping.
I don't even know what manscaping is.
Smooth my balls. This is the company for you. Since I got my hands on my turf chopper, smoothing my balls has never been easier or more fun or more pleasant. This set of... Manscaping clippers is specially designed for your sack for full comfort and is guaranteed not to cut, chafe, bruise, or otherwise damage the balls.
I don't think this is a scam at all. I think someone's just having a laugh. It's quite good.
Never nip your sack again. Body and body and below the belt grooming in a whole new ball game. The perfect gear to upgrade your grooming routine and help you grab life by the balls. Going away? Have your balls covered. Our super portable trimmer can be bought anywhere and is USB rechargeable. The perfect travel companion for the smoothest balls wherever you go.
This is amazing. Sorry, what, a turf chopper? Is that what
that's
it's
the
called?
Turf chopper, but we're not finished. The turf chopper has friends. Let me introduce you to the pube muncher. The pube muncher allows for replaceable batteries, so it's always there when you need it. Relax, as all of your bathroom's hairs are sucked up and leave your bathroom kingdom clean and all without clogging your sink. The pube muncher works best on dry surfaces, but it's designed with grooming in mind, and we know how when shaving things can get wet.
We need a picture on the website of this. We've got a pube muncher. And what was the other one? A turf what? Chopper.
Turf chopper. And now we have the hedge trimmer. The hedge trimmer is basically a seven-piece nail set created with the demanding routine of men's grooming and nail care in mind. This is not as funny as the other products, but it's there.
I don't think it's a scam at all.
One of the accessories that comes with the turf chopper is the sack mat. Now, the sack mat has been designed to catch all the unwanted hairs that land on your floor. Keep your bathroom nice and clean while performing your grooming needs. The sack mat is designed to make grooming more entertaining and enjoyable, and the material of the sack mat means you can easily clean it and it's reusable. Now, this is basically a blue rubber mat with 2 feet printed on it, and in between the 2 feet, the two nuts. And I think you're supposed to aim your pubes into the nuts.
I think we should put it to the test. I think it would be well invested, $70 for all of that.
Oh, no. The $70, I think, is just for the turf chopper. Now, before anybody rushes out their credit card and logs on and tries to purchase this bullshit, remember, this is a scam. It's a brilliant scam site, but it is a scam. They sourced all their products, which are generic, but just had their own labels printed on them. They all came from basically Alibaba. And the turf chopper, which they're selling for $107, is about $6 a piece on Alibaba.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that? That's perfect. It's just marketing.
Yeah, but it's not marketing. That's a 1,000% markup.
What? You don't think there's products out there in the mainstream that is 1,000% markup?
Okay, fine. But don't charge me to sell your fucking 1,000% markup shit to my listener.
Anyway, it's not. $70, if it costs them $6, that's only a... Oh, no, that is a...
Yes, thank you. So we'll make sure that you're not finance director when we hit the big time.
What do you mean? I was the banker, for God's sake.
All the more reason I should be in charge of the purse strings.
I must admit, I'm not complaining. I don't think it's a scam. I think it's perfectly reasonable. I'm going onto the website to check them out. What's the... what is it? If I look up Turf Chopper...
No, look up Smooth My Balls. Now you understand why I wanted it to be genuine.
God knows what would happen if I actually did a Google search for Smooth My Balls. What would come up in the future?
You'll get smoothmyballs.com.
So that does exist.
Yes.
It's not a scam at all. It sounds perfectly reasonable. Good on you. Smooth my balls. What's that got to do with spontaneous combustion?
That was our advert break.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Right. Well, it's taken longer.
That's because you were laughing your whole way through it.
Right. Good one. Yeah. Now a word from my sponsors.
Okay, that's over with. So back to business. I'll have to edit a lot of that out. Another example was basically in 1967, a passenger on a bus in England noticed blue flames in the window of an apartment building. She thought it was a gas jet and called the fire brigade. When they got to the place, they allegedly found the body of Robert Francis Bailey, and a fireman support reported seeing a slit in the man's abdomen from which blue flames were issuing.
So he was dead at that stage.
He was dead at that stage, yeah.
All right. I'm waiting to get to the point, what causes it, so I can avoid it.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll get to that. I mean, there's so many additional combustion events over the next few hundred years, from 1400 all the way from Pakistan to Florida.
Right.
Experts couldn't explain the deaths any other way, and several similarities stuck out amongst them. First, fire generally contained itself to the person and not their immediate surroundings.
Yes.
Furthermore, it wasn't uncommon to find burns and smoke damage just above and below the victim's body, but nowhere else.
Like a Roman candle sort of thing.
Exactly.
Both ends.
And finally, the torso was typically reduced to ash, leaving only the extremities behind. But there is science that says these cases aren't as mysterious as they look. There's a few possible explanations.
Right.
Now, despite investigators' failures to locate a different possible cause of death, the scientific community isn't convinced that spontaneous human combustion is caused by anything internal or particularly spontaneous. Firstly, the seemingly supernatural way the fire damage is typically limited to the victim and his or her immediate area is not actually as unusual as it seems. Many fires are self-limiting and die out naturally upon running out of fuel, in this case the fat in a human body. And because fires tend to burn upwards as opposed to outwards, the sight of a badly burned body in an otherwise untouched room isn't inexplicable. Fires often fail to move horizontally, especially if there's no wind or air currents to push them. One fire fact that helps explain the lack of damage to the surrounding room is the wick effect, which takes its name from the way a candle relies on a flammable wax material to keep its wick burning. The wick effect illustrates how human bodies can function much like candles. If the clothing or the hair is the wick, and body fat is the flammable substance. As fire burns a human body, subcutaneous fat melts and saturates the body's clothes. The continuous supply of fat to the wick keeps the fire burning at an astonishingly high temperature until there's nothing left to burn and the fire extinguishes itself.
Oh, but are we saying in that case that it's only slightly overweight people who are more prone to spontaneous combustion, or can a skinny person spontaneously combust?
Everybody has a percentage of body fat.
Yeah, but mine is considerably less than yours.
No, not if you count your head.
My body fat is 22%.
My body fat's 18%. It's much younger.
18% in your dreams. Closer to 80%.
Fucking suck my balls. My smooth balls. Sorry. Anyway, the result is a pile of ashes, much like what is left in cases of alleged spontaneous human combustion.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Now, the next question you'd have to ask is, how does the fire start?
Yes, that is exactly what I was just about to ask, especially if you're sitting on a bus.
Well, she was sitting on a bus being a witness to flames in a window.
Oh, you're right. I missed that bit of the story. She was just the witness.
That's because of the fat in the ear holes getting in the way.
Yep, go for it. So what is the catalyst, is it? No, initiator.
The igniter.
Yes.
Well, they point to the fact that most of those have died of apparent spontaneous combustion were either elderly, alone, and seated or sleeping near an ignition source. Many victims have been discovered near open fireplaces with a lit cigarette nearby, and a good number were last seen drinking alcohol, which, as we all know, can cause you to burst into flames. Flames at any second.
All right. Yeah.
Now,
so they're saying a loose spark or something just happened to touch the right spot when you were exhaling heavy alcohol vapors.
Or, you know, if you fall asleep while drinking and smoking.
And you went up like a Christmas pudding.
Yeah. I mean, while the Victorians thought that alcohol was causing some kind of chemical reaction in the stomach that led to the spontaneous combustion, or the other theory from the Victorians was perhaps calling down the wrath of the Almighty on the sinner's head.
Yes, yeah.
But a more likely explanation is that many of those who burned may well have been unconscious, and that would explain why it's so often the elderly who burn. Older people are more likely to suffer a stroke or a heart attack, which might lead them to drop a cigarette or other source of ignition, meaning that the bodies that burned were either incapacitated or already dead, which would also explain the lack of mobility while they're on fire, running around the room screaming, etc.
All right, so it's not that bad then. It's basically there's a reasonable chance that these poor people were sort of dead or unconscious, and they just set themselves on fire with something quite normal. Not so exciting from a paranormal sort of perspective, though. It was a cigarette. That's not really very exciting or paranormal.
No. There was a strange tale of a guy called Jack Angel. But he used to actually be a door-to-door salesman who specialised in selling cloths. Angel lived in a motorhome because it was easier because of all the travel he had to do for his job. But he's much more of a clothing salesman. He's actually a survivor. Spontaneous human combustion.
So he had a story to tell.
He did.
He could actually tell what happened.
On the night of November 12, 1974, Jack Angel fell asleep in his camper at a motel parking lot somewhere in Savannah, Georgia. Now, he slept for 4 days. I wish I could do that.
He slept for 4 days?
Yeah. And when he awoke, his skin was covered in burns. The burns covered his arms, wrist, back, and he'd even burned a hole from the inside out on his chest. And looking around, he found no evidence of a fire. Nothing in the mobile home was burned. Even the clothes he was wearing appeared to be fine. Now, scared to death, he left the mobile home and made a beeline for the hotel, where he collapsed on the floor. Days later, again, he woke up in a hospital. The doctors had no idea and no answers for Jack other than that the burning appeared to start in his left arm. Now, a year later, Jack Angel went to a solicitor and he slightly changed his story, perhaps in search of some kind of workman's compensation, and he said that he'd scalded himself while he was trying to change the water pressure of his mobile home. Yeah, but the thing is, basically thought to be a failed attempt at a workman's compensation claim because doctors realised after examining him that the hole in his chest had been caused from the inside out, not from the outside in.
Yeah, but hang on, that supports the idea of spontaneous combustion.
Yes.
And knocks the idea of workplace accidents.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
He was trying to change his story to make it look like a workplace accident so he could get some cash.
Right, okay. So that actually supports our idea that this does exist.
Yes. Now, the last known case that I could find of spontaneous human combustion is on December 22nd, 2010, 76-year-old Michael Fairty was found dead in his home in Galway in Ireland. His body had been badly burned. Investigators found no accelerants near his body, nor any signs of foul play, and they ruled out a nearby fireplace at the scene as the culprit. Forensic experts had only Fairty's scorched body and the fire damage done to the ceiling above and the floor beneath to explain what had happened to the elderly man. After much consideration, coroner ruled the cause of Fairty's death to be spontaneous human combustion, a decision that generated a fair share of controversy. Many regard the phenomenon with a combination of fascination and fear, wondering, is it actually possible?
So that was in 2010. So that was the case you were talking about earlier. And in fact, that happened in modern times.
Yes.
And is the coroner still a coroner, or did he get sent off to the lunatic asylum?
Well, as he was in Ireland, he was probably made a saint.
Really? So 2010, a coroner actually wrote on a death certificate,
yep,
spontaneous human combustion.
Absolutely.
It doesn't quite...
It gives you no satisfactory answers, but it lets you know that people who say no such thing are talking out their arse because there's a legal precedent. Someone has legitimately died of spontaneous human combustion, whether you like it or not.
You're right, but I have to say it's... I always considered... Sorry, what jumped into my mind was like literally a pile of ash. This poor fellow, you know, there was sort of... He was still there. It's just his body had been badly scorched.
This is a problem with the various stories. Some of them seem to have like literally burned so intensely that the torso is completely
gone,
and others seem to be just badly burned. I don't know, that could be something to do with the amount of body fat, as you mooted earlier,
or the amount of alcohol they consumed,
in which case I'm double fucked.
You have to accept that fate, Andy, from long ago. Probably unrelated to alcohol. All right, well, that, yeah, I mean, sort of. It was, yeah, I mean, you're right. Interesting conclusion. 2010, coroner actually wrote it on a death certificate, so there's no question that it exists.
Yeah, you can't argue with it. Or you can, but you'd have to launch an appeal in Galway.
I wonder how easy that would be.
In this day and age, not very easy at all. Not sure you can even get into Ireland at the moment.
Oh, you can't get into anywhere, unfortunately. And those poor people in Afghanistan can't get out. No one's going anywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot been going on this week.
Absolutely.
I mean, that has got to be the biggest cock-up for decades.
Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Well, I don't need to talk politics, but it seems absurd. You spend 20 years trying to establish
and
the situation.
And $2 trillion.
$2 trillion. And then, however corrupt the government was, which is what the US and the UK are claiming, they were the ones that installed them.
I know, and this is what makes me laugh. That they lay the blame, or they try to lay the blame at the president's door, the president that they installed. And for 20 years, they stood by and watched him funnel off all the money that goes into the country. His daughter has been set up in Manhattan in an apartment with $100 million stolen from Afghanistan for years.
Yeah.
And he skips the country with £130 million
allegedly.
In cash, allegedly, and goes direct to Dubai, do not pass go.
United Arab Emirates.
Yeah, where he cannot be fucking extradited or questioned or arrested. And it just beggars belief that Boris Johnson is still sitting there guffawing and humming and hawing and pretending to be as surprised as everybody else that there's actually corruption in Afghanistan.
In fact, I was going to... I've got my calculator in front of me, as it happens. What's the population of Afghanistan?
40 million.
Okay, how do you do two?
I can tell you now.
One, two, three.
I can tell you now.
One, two, three. One, two, three. Is that trillion?
That's a billion. I can tell you now.
No.
I can tell you now that $2 trillion divided by 40 million Afghanistanis would be in the region of $50,000 per head.
Well, how can you do it quicker than I can? One, two, three.
Well, you're the banker, you tell me.
I know. My calculator doesn't have enough zeros on it.
Yeah, there's 12 zeros in a trillion.
You're right, there are.
A 16-figure number.
All right, so I've got 2 billion.
Okay, but then you can multiply
divided that by 4,000?
No, 4 million.
40,000.
No, 4 million. If you're taking... Oh, no, you're taking 3 zeros off.
Yeah.
So...
You're right. Bloody hellfire, Andy. I'm impressed. Yeah. $50,000 per head in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. That's probably like... I don't know, 10 years'
20
worth
years'
of
wages.
Yes. No, literally.
Yeah.
So what would have been a better solution?
Would
forget
just
the Taliban,
give the money
Taliban and we'll give you $50,000 a head. Oh, dear. Anyway, again, luckily we're not there. We're in Sweden. The only thing we have to worry about in Sweden is that the trees have already started turning and it's in the middle of August.
We'll see.
Well, do you realise we've been talking for 44 minutes?
I know, but 28 of those was about shaving your bollocks.
That might be the most entertaining.
That will be the highlight. That will be the highlight of the whole podcast. Because, to be honest, spontaneous human combustion didn't give me a lot to work with.
No, it wasn't that exciting. But as I say, the problem is that we had such a good one last week, in my mind. It's difficult to follow that up.
Now, I did have a different one that I was tossing up between the two, but I thought the other subject that I had in mind was better.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to ruin that with Smooth My Balls, because Smooth My Balls is going to steal the thunder.
You're right. It's a good point. Good production decision there. So weak storyline. Let's spice it up with Smooth My Balls.
Yeah. At least I know what to get you for Christmas now.
Well, that's good timing on the fishbowl front, because you're nearly finished there.
Yeah, and that's basically it.
That was nearly, what is that, half a litre?
No, there was about a third of a bottle.
Yes, half a litre.
No, 70 centilitre bottle.
You don't
a
drink.
A third of it.
You don't buy wine in bottles. You
should
buy
I show
by
you the
tanker.
Bottle? Should I show you the bottle?
What have you got? Come on, show me the bottle of wine that you've been drinking. Irony. Is that really? Irony, is that wine?
Yeah.
It's got to be American. It's ironic that the Americans have taken over wine producing from the French. All right, what time is it? It's 6 o'clock. I'm entitled to an aperitif now.
Okay, well, let me just do this. So that brings us to the end of this episode.
Yeah, it's good. Good, I'm pleased it's the end.
If you enjoyed it, feel free to join us for the next one, details of which can be found on our website, www.strangestuffpodcast.com, where you can also link to our Twitter and our Instagram accounts.
Sorry, Andy, why do you say Twitter? Isn't it Twitter?
Yeah, but you have to be a twat about it. Please feel free to follow us. You'll be the first, or the second, in fact. And if you've got any ideas or suggestions that you'd like to hear us murder with our possible facts and bad research, feel free to let us know. In the meantime, goodbye from Strange Stuff.
Was that a new...
You ruined my outro. You can't talk until the music stops. Ready?
Yeah, but I was that drum thing.
No.